You're listening to Worship Life Radio with Pastor Holland Davis of Calvary Chapel San Clemente. On today's edition...
Two opposing kingdoms now in the world. You have the kingdom of God, and you have the world system that is dominated by Satan, who's referred to as the God of this world. Why is this important for us to know? Because when we're dealing with the issue of salvation, when we're dealing with the issue of living as believers, you are either going to be under the world system dominated by Satan, or you're going to be a citizen of the kingdom of God. And there is no middle ground.
There are two opposing kingdoms in our world today, the kingdom of God and the world system that is controlled by Satan. In today's message, Pastor Holland reminds us that we cannot belong to both. When you become a believer, you are part of God's kingdom and lose your citizenship in this world. Some people try to toe the line and grasp tightly to things they no longer have rights to. Citizenship in heaven means turning from the things that don't belong in God's kingdom. Let's join Pastor Holland in the book of Exodus chapter 5 as he continues his message, The World System.
And so in Genesis 4, God provided himself a sin offering for Cain, but Cain didn't take it. Instead, he offered his body to Satan to be used as an instrument of evil, and he murders his brother. That's why Paul says in Romans 6:13, do not present the parts of your body to sin as an instrument of unrighteousness. You know, it's going all the way back. Remember, Paul's a rabbi. He understands the Torah. He spent his whole life memorizing the Torah. He knew all the stories, all the intricacies. They would discuss it thoroughly. And so Cain presented himself to become an instrument of unrighteousness. And by doing so, murders his brother, and Satan uses Cain to set up the first godless society, a world system that is against God. And Satan begins to dominate the world through man. And it begins in Genesis chapter 4. This is why John says, do not love the world or anything in the world, for the Father is not in them. In 1 John 2:15, he's talking about the world system. There is nothing in the world system that has ever been from God. Nothing from the very beginning. Its very beginning is corrupt. After the flood, the world system continues through Noah's son, Ham. The grandson of Ham is Nimrod. And Nimrod was the founder of a town referred to as Babel. He also was the founder of Nineveh. Nimrod was known in his day to be a cruel and powerful person. In fact, his name means, let us be rebellious, or let us revolt. I mean, it's like naming your kid Crash. It's like, why would you do that? You know what they're going to do. They're going to crash everywhere. Now, as part of the curse, God told Noah in Genesis 9:2 that the animals would attack mankind. And in fact, I was talking when I got my hair cut yesterday or the day before, I was talking to my barber about that. And he goes, you know, because of the curse, we can't swim with the sharks. It's like before the sharks, during Shark Week, everybody be like hanging out with the sharks. It'd be a great thing. It'd be a whole different program. But now we can't swim with the sharks and we can't hang out with the cobras and all that sort of thing because the animals now want to eat us. That's part of the curse. I don't know if you knew that. But read Genesis 9:2. You'll figure it out. It's all part of the curse. And so here's the reality. Nimrod then gained a name for himself as a mighty hunter before the Lord. He became the protector of man against the animals. He was one who deliberately hunted and slaughtered animals, and the people saw him as a hero. He's a defender of mankind, a charismatic leader. But what's interesting is when you look in the Hebrew and you see the term before the Lord, it says that he was a mighty hunter before the Lord. It's actually better translated, he was a mighty hunter against the Lord. In other words, he used his fame, he used his glory to take the glory to himself, and he became the defender of man, not God. God was not the defender of man. Nimrod became the defender of man. Thus, Nimrod used his natural skill and charisma to build a strong, centralized society, a self-sufficient civilization to dominate and control the world through a network of cities on the Tigris and Euphrates River. And this becomes the first recognizable world system. Nimrod was the lawmaker. He was the law of the land. And again, this world system was not governed by God. It was governed by one man, a strong, charismatic, political leader. And what is the world drawn to today? A strong, charismatic, political leader is part of the world system. And we know that there's going to come a day in the near future where a strong, charismatic, political leader is going to rise up, and one of his things is going to be, guys, we are one world. We need one government to rule the whole world, you know, because of the internet, because of all these things that are going on. We don't, you know, the world is too close. We all are so aware of each other. We just need to govern each other. We're trading with each other in order to make money and have a good life, you know, in order to have all the things that we want as a society. We need to unite together. And the Bible calls that person the Antichrist, part of the world system. And again, this was established in Genesis 4. We see it heightened in Genesis 9. And from this point forward, we see a world system gaining power and coming against the kingdom of God. Nimrod also invented the first false religion, which is part of the world system. Nimrod's wife was Semiramis. And she influenced Nimrod to worship the moon god. And the moon god was a local deity of the village in which she was born. But the moon god still exists today. The moon god goes by a different name today. The moon god is known as Allah. And if you look at every mosque, what do you see? A moon. You see a moon. Now, it used to be you only saw a half moon. You only saw a half moon. Because when Islam first began, their goal was to conquer all of the nations around the Mediterranean Sea. That's what they set out to do. But today, their goal is to conquer the world. And so what they have done is, if you look on they've taken all of the half moons off and they've replaced them with full circles. And it tells you up front what their plan is, world domination. And so as naive Americans, when we say it's a peaceful religion, they're showing you right up front what they want. They're letting you know right from the beginning that their goal is world domination. And of course, they will be nice to you until they become the dominant power. And then things will be much different. We'll experience some of the things they experience in France and in other parts of the world. Now, Nimrod referred to his wife as the Queen of Heaven. Where have we heard that? The Queen of Heaven. And Nimrod deified himself as the sun god or the Lord of Heaven. And who is the primary god of the Egyptians? The sun god. The sun god. The Lord of Heaven. They had a son named Damu or Damuzi, which is translated Tammuz in Hebrew. And he became the reincarnation of Nimrod after his death. And therefore, they began to say that within their religion, they had the Queen of Heaven holding the baby child who would die and become resurrected from the dead. So what does that sound like? It sounds like a copy of something else, doesn't it? And it should inform you to know that Satan has no ideas. He's not a creative being. He's a created being. And therefore, all he can do is imitate what God does and pervert it and repackage it and sell it to you. Today, kind of the latest one is the Secret. That's it, The Secret. The Secret takes all of the parts of Christianity that they like. It leaves out all the parts that don't like dying to yourself and you know, those kinds of things, serving one another. It's all about me and, you know, kind of coming in and, you know, it's all about getting that, you know, that vibe going on. And that's huge in Hollywood. And it's huge. Even in the church, I've had people, you know, tell me that how they had all these series events happen up and it's just kind of the spirit of favor or something like that. And I'm looking at them going, that's a false religion. You're preaching a false religion there as part of that secret society. And so this false religion worshiped the heavenly hosts, worshiped the fallen angels, resulting in the direct worship of Satan and ritual demonic possession. And so as believers, we don't worship angels. We don't worship saints. We don't pray to angels. We don't pray to saints. We pray to Jesus Christ. We pray to the Father. We don't pray to anyone else.
Worship Life Radio with Holland Davis will continue right after this.
Hi, this is Holland Davis, and I'm the pastor of Calvary Chapel in San Clemente. And I just want to take a moment and invite you to come and visit us at one of our Sunday morning services or to our midweek Bible study. Calvary Chapel San Clemente is a Jesus people community right here in the city of San Clemente, California. You know, we identify with our roots in the Jesus movement because that's where I came to Christ. And of course, that's where Calvary Chapel was born. When you come to our church, you're going to find a church that loves to worship the Lord with song. We love to study God's word verse by verse, and we love to share the love of God with other people. If that's the kind of church you're looking for, consider visiting us. You can find out all about us online at calvarysanclemente.org. We look forward to worshiping with you soon, and may God richly bless you.
Now, let's continue with today's edition of Worship Life Radio.
Now, through this organized society, this world system, Nimrod sought to build a tower that would be used as a link between heaven and earth, between the fallen angels and man, in order to corrupt mankind. And the culmination of this world system was the Tower of Babel, which God judged by confusing the languages of man and establishing the nations of the world, all governed now by individual world systems. And this is the state of the world today. This is where we find the world today. You have nations all over, and they're governed by their world system, by the world system over that nation. And so you have wars where you have the spiritual powers behind those world systems conquering over and ruling, dominating an area, and then the world system changes to be under the dominant spiritual power. It's after the Tower of Babel in Genesis 11 that God then decides to establish his kingdom through Abraham. And we see God beginning to work in Abraham in Genesis 12. And so from this point forward, you have two opposing kingdoms now in the world. You have the kingdom of God, and you have the world system that is dominated by Satan, who's referred to as the God of this world. Why is this important for us to know? Because when we're dealing with the issue of salvation, when we're dealing with the issue of living as believers, you are either going to be under the world system dominated by Satan, or you're going to be a citizen of the kingdom of God. And there is no middle ground. You're in one kingdom or the other. You cannot be in both kingdoms. It's a decision that each person has to make. The world system is visible. The kingdom of God is invisible. But the kingdom of God is made visible through you and I, through God's people. We're the representatives of the king, the representatives of the kingdom of God in this world. And so when we come to Exodus chapter 5, where Moses and Aaron confront Pharaoh, we have a picture of Moses and Aaron who represent the kingdom of God confronting the world system that's represented by Pharaoh. Now, let me also say this, as believers, you are a representative of the kingdom of God. You represent the king. The question is, what kind of a representative are you? What kind of a representative are you? Are you a true representative of the king? Or are you mixing in the world system into your representation? And that's a choice that each of us has to come to terms with as believers. Who do we represent? Now, let's look at Exodus chapter 5. In Exodus 5, we see the characteristics of this world system. In verse 1, it says, "After Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, 'Thus says the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness.' And Pharaoh said, 'Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, nor will I let Israel go.' And so they said, 'The God of the Hebrews has met with us. Please, let us go 3 days' journey into the desert and sacrifice to the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword.' And then the king of Egypt said to them, 'Moses and Aaron, why do you take the people from their work? Get back to your labor.' And Pharaoh said, 'Look, the people of the land are many now, and you make them rest from their labor.' So the same day, Pharaoh commanded the taskmasters of the people and their officers, saying, 'You shall no longer give the people straw to make brick as before. Let them go and gather straw for themselves, and you shall lay on them the quota of bricks which they made before. You shall not reduce it, for they are idle.' Therefore, they cry out, saying, 'Let us go and sacrifice to our God. Let more work be laid upon the men, that they may labor in it, and let them not regard false words.'" So, notice what Pharaoh says in verse 2. He says, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice?" Who is the Lord? And there are two characteristics to note here. First, the world system does not know the Lord. Those that are in the world do not know the Lord. They don't have the capacity to know the Lord. In fact, the world system has no personal, intimate knowledge of God. That's what it means when it talks about knowing. It means to know by experience. To know by experience. And so the world system has no personal, intimate knowledge of God that they should know the Lord. You know, in 1 Corinthians 2:14, it says, "But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned." And so it's impossible to have a spiritual relationship with God as long as you are under the world system. As long as you're part of the world system, you cannot know God. In fact, you cannot know your purpose in life as long as you're under the world system. For only God knows what you were created for. Only God can tell you that. And only God can show us what real life is, what real joy is. In Psalm 16:11, it says, "You will show me the path of life, and in your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures evermore." And so only God can tell you who you are, and only God can tell you how to get joy. It only comes from him. This is why the believer has no business looking to the world for advice. The world has nothing to offer the believer because the world does not know God, nor does it know God's purpose or intentions for your life. You can only get that knowledge from knowing God or knowing his word. Now, one of the things that oftentimes I'll counsel people and then God will begin to work in their life, and then all of a sudden they'll say, "You know, I need to get a counselor, you know, like a professional counselor." And then they bring in someone who doesn't know God, who is not saved. Now, I don't tell people that my degree was in counseling, and so I don't make them feel bad for picking a pseudo professional. But, you know, the thing is that these people don't know God. And so they begin giving them advice that is contrary to God. And then their life starts to get worse. Their life becomes more filled with turmoil, more filled with anxiety. or they'll feel like, oh, I got to go to AA, or I got to go to NA, or go to Al-Anon, and they get a sponsor that begins to give them the wisdom of the world, not the wisdom that comes from God. And again, their life begins to be filled with confusion. And they'll come back to me and I'll say, I'll talk to you, but you got to fire all the other counselors. Because I'm going to give you what God says. I'm not going to give you what the world says. And I don't want you to be confused by that. And all of a sudden, the world starts to work again. Because God's way works. God's word works. And so we only get the knowledge of what brings peace and joy in our lives from God himself, knowing God through his word. Second, the world does not obey God's voice. It says here that, you know, Pharaoh's questioning, who is this God that I should obey him? I don't know him. Why should I listen to him? You know, remember, before we had the written word of God, the Logos, the Bible that we hold in our hands, there was the living word of God. God was speaking to man face to face. And so Adam had an open, continual communication with God. He could talk to God anytime he wanted to. And it wasn't like we do where we're praying and we're hoping God listens. And if you're a believer, you know God listens. But if you don't, if you're an unbeliever, you don't know if there's a God listening to you or not. But Adam saw him face to face. Adam knew that God was listening. But Adam rebelled against God still. Even having that face-to-face communication, Adam rebelled against God, did what God told him not to do, and thus through one man's disobedience, sin entered the world. And the sin nature came alive in man, and man is now separated from God. Man is born separated from God. And instead of having a spiritual mind that is conscious of God, man has a carnal mind that is conscious of sin, and thus man rebels against God. We have this built-in thing within us to do the exact opposite of what God says to do. In Romans 8:7, it says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. It can't be subject to God's law because it's in rebellion against it. That word submissive, a subject means submissive. And so the natural man doesn't submit himself to God's rulership. Man wants to do what is right in his own eyes. When God says, you will love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, the carnal mind says, why should I? Who is this God that I should obey him? Why should I do what God says? I'm in control of my life. I decide what's best for me, not God. And it's that hostile position that the carnal mind has. It's hostile towards God. And so it's only after I'm born again, God changes me from the inside out, do I want to please God with my life. Thank you for listening today. When I was a young man, Jesus made himself known to me. I was sitting in a Bible study and I heard an audible voice say, Holland, I love you. And those words changed my life. And you know, those words can change your life today as well. You know, Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. And today you can begin that eternal everlasting life by praying a simple prayer and mean it with all your heart. Just say, Lord Jesus, I surrender to you. I want to live my life for you. Forgive me for everything I've done to offend you. Forgive me for breaking your law. I want to surrender to you. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and give me the power to live for you all the days of my life. And if you've done that, you're born again.
You've been listening to Worship Life Radio with Pastor Holland Davis of Calvary Chapel San Clemente. We're so glad you took the time to learn from God's Word today, and we hope you'll tune in next time. Right now, you can hear more messages by visiting our website, calvarysanclemente.org. Just click on Teaching. Feel free to download and share the messages you find there, and we pray they're a blessing to you. We'd love to connect with you on social media, too. You can find us on many platforms by following the links available at our website, and be sure to like our pages and stay up to date with all the latest information. Are you in the San Clemente area? If so, we have a seat waiting for you at Calvary Chapel San Clemente this Sunday. We gather to worship at 8 a.m. and 10 a.m., and we have a Bible study on Thursdays at 6:30 p.m. that you're welcome to be a part of. You can get directions and more information by visiting calvarysanclemente.org. If you're not able to be with us in person right now, that's okay. We're streaming our services live every week on our website, as well as on YouTube and Facebook Live. Just visit our website for all the information you need to connect. One more time, that's calvarysanclemente.org. Is there anything we can be lifting up to the Lord in prayer for you? Please let us know by calling us at 949-228-9117. That's 949-228-9117. That's all the time we have for today. Thanks for tuning in to Worship Life Radio.
Every one of us is on a journey of grace. God wants you to be free and full of joy. Pastor Holland's message series, A Journey of Grace, will help you discover how to live the abundant life that Jesus promises to give you today. Order your personal copy of A Journey of Grace at worshiplife.radio.com.